Well, again, it is great to see all of you here this morning for our service. And we do have several that are visiting with us, and we're delighted about that as well. And have some that are home from college this weekend as we get ready to celebrate this holiday season upcoming on Thursday. Hope that all of you will be able to enjoy being with friends and family and loved ones during that time as well. This morning, we'll go right into our lesson. If you have your Bibles and would like to, you can open them to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. In this particular passage of Scripture, we understand where that Jesus has been brought before Pilate by the Jews. And I want us to read just a few verses here together as we set up the scene. In 19, it says, "When he had sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified." Now, we understand what it says here in this passage of Scripture about what Pilate did with Jesus. Pilate delivered Jesus over to be crucified, to be murdered, an innocent man. Now I want us to look this morning about what some others have done with Jesus, and then I want us to consider the question, what will we do with Jesus? And then finally I want us to start thinking about being prepared to do certain things with Jesus, and when we find ourselves in certain situations to do the right thing comes to Jesus. But it's going to require some of your thoughts, some of your ideas, and you putting down some of this perhaps on paper so that you'll remember it. So the first thing I want us to do is, what have others in the past done with Jesus? Well, we go to Luke chapter 22, and we find here where that Judas was an individual who sold Jesus out. He sold him. He, for 30 pieces of silver, decided to leave the mob and the chief priest and those authorities directly to Jesus so that he could be imprisoned and perhaps questioned and then executed. I'm certain that Judas understood the animosity that the others felt toward Jesus. I'm certain in being with Jesus, he recognized that there were others that didn't like him very much. I'm not sure that was a big secret. I don't believe that Judas said, "Well, you know what? Let me take this money and I'll deliver you to Jesus. I'll let you see him." And I don't believe for one moment that he thought that that was something that was good. That if I'll lead him there. Now, some have suggested maybe that Judas just wanted Jesus to answer their questions, and that if they had some type of interaction with Jesus, that he would answer their question, all of a sudden they'd believe. Or maybe some have thought that Judas was trying to get Jesus to force his hand, so that Jesus now, maybe going to prison or being executed, he would show them who he truly was, if he was the Son of God. You know what? He actually did, didn't he? He showed them exactly that he was the Son of God and everything that he did there. But I believe that Judas must have had in mind that there could have been some negative consequences to that decision, and that in delivering Jesus, those men did not have good intentions. And so that's what some have done with Jesus. Judas sold him out. Others have abandoned him. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 56, when the mob gathered there to arrest Jesus, the Scriptures record that all of them fled from his presence, every one of his disciples. He was left there alone. They abandoned him. In John chapter 18, verse 27, we find here where the apostle Peter denied him. When given the opportunity to say that he was a man involved with Jesus Christ. He was a man that knew Jesus Christ. He was a man that had been with Jesus Christ. He just lied. Said, I don't know him. And yet, there are some good stories. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, we have here the example of those who have received him. Upon hearing Peter preach that gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost, it said, and those that heard him, they received his word with gladness. They received him. And they that gladly received his word said, men and brethren, what shall we do? They heard him, they received that word. Many of them were baptized into him. We have examples of some that have been. In Acts chapter 8, we find where the Ethiopian eunuch, he decided to be baptized into Jesus Christ. And then we have some that have proclaimed him. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 20, after the apostle Paul has been converted, it says that he straightway went to the synagogues, began to speak to them. He was ready to proclaim. So hear what some have done with Jesus in the past. But here's our question. What will you do with Jesus? In Matthew chapter 7 and verses 21 through 23, you know this verse, these verses probably by heart. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. What will you do with Jesus? That's the question that we now have to answer today. And I hope that your response will be the responses that we're going to share this morning. Here's what I hope will happen. Hope that we will all obey His gospel and enter His church. That's what I hope your response to Jesus will be this morning. And no, I'm not going to continue to refuse Him. Today, I'm going to obey His gospel and I'm going to enter His church. Now, how can I do this? Well, we're very familiar with what a person needs to do in order to become a Christian. You need to hear the gospel in Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You've got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. John 8:24. If you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. You've got to repent of your sins. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 3 it says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. In Matthew chapter 10:32, it tells us that we are to confess Jesus. And if we refuse to confess Him, if we deny Him, as we've talked about others doing in the past, He's going to deny us. But if we will confess Him, He will confess us before His Father. And then He tells us we need to be baptized. If we go to Acts chapter 2, verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. When did they do? When they were baptized. How can I do this? Well, that's how you do this. Now, I want to ask you, what will you do with Jesus? Will you obey His gospel and enter His church this morning? What about this? I will faithfully attend the assemblies of His church and worship God scripturally. Have I decided that's what I want to do? And we think about John chapter 4 and verse 24. If we go back up to John chapter 4 verse 23, here Jesus is telling the woman at the well that the Father is seeking such to worship Him, those that would worship Him in spirit and in truth. And in verse 24 He says, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Brother Herschel talked about the simple ceremony that Jesus put forth for us to observe regarding His death. Each opportunity that we have on Sunday morning, when we come here together, we get an opportunity to do that simple ceremony. And Jesus instructs us to, there are many that do not worship Jesus according to the scriptures that He's given. And so the question then becomes, what will I do with Jesus Will I faithfully attend the assemblies of His church, His people? And will I worship Him scripturally, in spirit and in truth? And I don't know what happened with that. I'm sorry it cropped it off. I didn't realize that it had. But the third thing that's mentioned here is, I will bear His cross daily and follow Him. Now that's what we talked about just a little bit ago in the reading in Luke chapter 9, 23 through 26. That if we would be a disciple, we must take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. So what will you do with Jesus? Now, here's where the rubber meets the road. Getting prepared for this. Over the last couple of weeks, over about the last 3 weeks, I've spent some time in our 11th and 12th grade class. That's who I've been teaching on Sunday morning. We've been talking about sin. But we have taken the opportunity to write specific scenarios that they might find themselves in and what they would do when they find themselves in this particular situation. And we talked about how that, you know, in life, we make plans for ourselves. We plan out our life, and you plan out your life, and you're making decisions about what you want to see happen in the future. And we do this from a young age, and we begin to train people about this from a very young age. We talk to them about how important it is for them to get their education. Why? That's going to serve them well in life. As they get older, we talk to them about the decisions that they're making. Maybe who it is that they're going to date and where they're going to go to school and maybe what it is that they want to become in life later on. We make these plans, and we're talking about escape plans, exit strategies. And he's talked about how that as a child or maybe as a parent, you've sat down with your children and you have created an exit strategy or a rescue plan in the event that something happens in your home. Maybe you have a fire plan. And if you don't, then I would suggest that maybe you do that with your kids. We did that with our children. We told them if there's a fire in the house and we can't get to you and you can't get to us, here's what we want you to do. We want you to bust out the window with this chair. Take this chair in your room, knock out that window. We want you to go to the tree outside, the big tree. And we're going to do the same thing to our window, and we will meet you there so that we know that we're all together and everybody's safe. That's going to be our plan. Maybe you've had similar plans like that. So it's important for us to make sure that we're prepared with an exit strategy in this regard. Well, our young people, or our 11th and 12th graders, wrote down these things. We went through a list of about 8 scenarios they might find themselves in. What will you do in this situation? And they wrote down. Well, we're going to do a little bit of that today. And you've got your outline, I hope. Maybe you can write some things down, because we all need to be thinking about preparation. How will I handle this situation? What will I do with Jesus when this happens in my life? And it will happen if you're a Christian. Number one, what will you do with Jesus when professing Christians abandon His Word? What will you do with Him? We've had this happen in the Scriptures. We've seen it before in Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. The Apostle Paul said, I observed James and Peter and Barnabas and some of the other Jews not walking according to the gospel that had been presented. Why? Because they were being prejudiced against the Gentiles. They would eat with the Gentiles, but then when this company of Jews arrived, in order to not be offensive, they threw the Gentiles to the side and said, we're not going to eat with you. Paul says they're not walking according to the gospel. You're not walking uprightly. In other words, if they're not walking uprightly with the gospel, they have done what? They have sinned. And when we find professing Christians abandoning the Word of God, we have to call sin, sin. So what are you going to do? What plan do you have? In fact, I think I put on your outline, you need an SSDI. Do you have an SSDI? What does that stand for? Stands for a spiritual strategic defense initiative. A spiritual strategic defense initiative. Are you ready to defend God's Word? And are you willing to say what needs to be said when professing Christians abandon God's Word? How will you react in that situation? Here's another one. What will you do with Jesus when people misrepresent Him with His own words? When we go back and we think about the Word of God that has been written, we know that the Holy Spirit inspired these holy men of God to write what we have. But what did Jesus say early on to His disciples in John? In John chapter 14, 15, and 16, He said, I'm going to send the Comforter. He's going to lead, guide you unto all truth. He's going to speak what I have said. In other words, He said, He's going to speak my words. He's going to call them to your remembrance. In John chapter 12, verse 48, Jesus tells us that we're going to be judged by His words. So the word that we have, Jesus sent the Comforter to inspire the holy men of God so that they could write it down. So we got, these are Jesus' words. So what will we do when people misrepresent Jesus with His own words? We talk about that a little bit in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. We know it'll happen. People talks about men that will wrest the Scriptures. It means they're going to twist them. They're going to twist them to their own liking. We have that. They're going to misrepresent Jesus. So what's going to be our plan? Getting prepared. What are you going to do with Jesus when this happens? You know, if you're going to stand up for Him, are you going to defend Him? Are you going to defend His Word? And do you have a plan in place? Or is it something that we just turn our heads away from, we ignore, and we walk away in silence? What about this? What will you do with Jesus when people ask if you believe they must be a member of the church that belongs to Him for salvation? What will you say? How will you answer that question? In Acts 2 and verse 47, as we've called attention to that passage before, and we'll look at it together so we make sure that we read it right. It said, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. See, the saved are in the church. When you become a Christian, you become a part of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, you find that being in Christ means being in His body, and His body is the church. So when people say, do you have to be a member of the church in order to be saved, what is your answer going to be? And will you validate that with God's Word? You'll be asked these questions. What's your plan? What's your strategic, spiritual, strategic defense initiative? What about this? What will you do with Jesus when people attempt to relate to you by stating that one Christian organization is just as good as another? Is that true? It certainly wasn't true in Revelations chapter 2 and 3, was it? Here, the Apostle John, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, talking to seven congregations. Seven congregations that professed to be the church that Jesus built. Only two received positive comments. The others were not doing what they were supposed to do. One was in serious jeopardy. In each, Jesus talks about how that they need to hear what He is saying to them. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But certainly He goes on and He gives reprimands to several of those congregations there in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 to tell them, no, it's not right. You're not doing right. Being a part of that is not as good as being a part of this other congregation who is doing what they're supposed to do. So when people come to you and try to relate to you by saying that one church is just as good as another, one religious organization is just as good as another, what's your answer going to be? Folks, we better start thinking about these things. We make plans for everything else in our life. How are we going to handle this situation when it comes up? What will I do here? We do it with parenting. We do it with our retirement. We do it with things that we hold close to our heart, like our money. But do we do it with God's Word? Do we hold that as close to our heart as some of these other things? So we better get prepared. We better have a plan in place. So the question today is this: what will you do with Jesus? Will you do what the Scriptures record? Will you obey the gospel and be part of His church? Will you attend services faithfully and worship scripturally? Will you take up your cross daily and follow Him? Will you get prepared to be able to stand up for Him when the time comes? This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, if you need to turn your life over to Jesus Christ, we want to invite you to do that. We want to invite you to do it right now while together we stand and sing.